Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, once again, I should say, without Ken Evans, who is on spring break somewhere in the southern part of the United States. I, for one, am in my my boyhood home in Glenview, Illinois, doing the show this week for the second time, and we will, of course, be talking about UFC 223. We will talk a little bit about Bellator 196 as Roger Huerta will join the show. And a word of, I don't even know if it's warning, but when I sat down to talk to him this morning, he went a little introspective and a little deep, and maybe even a little sad towards the end of it. And I just want to say, like, that was not my intent to take it where it went, but, sometimes these interviews just kind of go where they go. So we will get to Roger Huerta. I just wanted to let you know, it's a bit of an odd one, not an odd, like Uriah Hill, Hall, I should say, Uriah Hall, that I've hung up on twice in my time here at Way of the Warrior. This is odd in the, like, I didn't really know how to pull out of the dive once we were in it, and Roger really doesn't go deep enough to look for follow-up questions, right? When he starts to get sad and melancholy, it was not sad and melancholy enough for me to have another question to ask. So anyway, word of warning about that interview. It goes a little weird towards the end, and I apologize for that. But first, we've got to talk about this weekend. We broke the news on Sunday night that UFC 223 was no longer Khabib Nurmagomedov and your boy Tony Ferguson, because he had a catastrophically crazy knee injury where the ligament tore off the bone. Now looks like he's going to need surgery. We will start the show there with him talking to Ariel Helwani about what exactly happened that went like this.
That sucks. I mean, really, I tweeted this happened on Friday, but the accident actually happened Thursday during my media obligations for the UFC. I mean, I was walking to say hi to a Fox crew member and want to say, and I slipped on one of those like big black thick cords in the production studio, but it was dark and it was hard to see, but I wasn't wearing my shades. I had actually my prescription sunglasses on, and that was when I was about to do my interview in the studio on the herd with Kristen.
So there is no doubt in my mind that this is clearly a crazy story. It's a crazy moment. If you've never been to a TV studio, what he's talking about might not make a lot of sense for you. But imagine that you're in a studio, and especially something like SportsCenter or UFC Tonight or something like that, where the set is particularly bright. Lots of bright colors, lots of lights. When you go to some local, if you've been to local TV stations, wherever you're listening to this, sometimes they might not be as bright as these sets. So the dramatic difference in lighting may not look the same. So what I'm saying is it might be light grays to, you know, white TV lights. So you might be able to see better in some of these studios. But when you get to these larger shows where everything is supposed to pop off the screen, where it's almost like HD in real life, which seems like an oxymoron because it sort of is, but if you've seen these sort of sets, you know what I'm talking about, that the difference between the on-camera side where the lights are and the off-camera side where either the computer-operated robotic cameras are or the floor director is, they're really dark, really, really, really dark. And the one thing that sticks out to what he was saying, what Tony was saying to Ariel Helwani, is Ariel asked him about sunglasses. Hey, man, were you wearing your sunglasses at night? At night. Song reference. There you go. Were you wearing your sunglasses inside? Because he wears them all over the place. And he said, no, I was wearing my prescription sunglasses inside. So I'm not trying to pile on. I'm certainly not even trying to poke fun, because I don't know if a worse thing could happen to you if you're Tony Ferguson, being out the money, out the opportunity, and out the belt. Because make no bones about it, Dana said at the press conference, only one man is getting his belt taken away from him, and that man is Conor McGregor. But Ferguson has lost this chance if they're never going to rebook this one again, if Dana sticks to his word. And I would say, if you listen to Eddie Bravo on with Joe Rogan, I believe that was Monday. He was talking about the Robert Whittaker situation and how it didn't seem fair because Robert Whittaker got injured and he didn't get his interim belt stripped away. But remember, the way that whole thing unfolded was George St. Pierre came in and sort of leapfrogged Whittaker because Whittaker was dealing with the one, Bisping didn't really want to fight him, and two, he was dealing with the staph infection that turned into MRSA, that turned into whatever the stuff it turned into. George St. Pierre comes in, beats Michael Bisping for the real title, and then vacates said belt, which is how Robert Whittaker becomes the champion at 185 pounds. So he didn't really have a chance to lose his interim belt because all that stuff happened fairly quickly. So this is a little bit of a different situation. And if you were listening to Luke Thomas today, you kind of understand what's at stake here. And there's a lot of things that are at stake here. One is that they needed to fill this pay-per-view. They could not. I mean, it's a huge market in New York. And they couldn't just have this one fall apart. Because if we go back to UFC 222, you had Frankie Edgar, and he was going to be taking on Max Holloway. Max Holloway gets hurt. And then Brian Ortega shows up and just mops the floor with Edgar, and Edgar is now out of the picture. Now, one pay-per-view later, Max Holloway is better with his ankle injury and is now going to be taking on Khabib Nurmagomedov at 155 pounds. So going up 10 pounds from 145 to 155 for that unified title, because Conor will be stripped seemingly if we make it to weight on Friday. And then to the event on Saturday, he'll be stripped and one of these two gentlemen will be your champ. If Max Holloway is that person, there's a lot of stuff that they've got to figure out as an organization on Sunday morning. Not the least of which is the fact that you now have Max Holloway holding 155 and 145, and it's not necessarily going to be good for them. The ideal situation, and obviously the whole situation favors Nurmagomedov because Nurmagomedov is not taking this fight on 6 days' notice. Nurmagomedov is not doing what Max Holloway has to do, which is he has to spend all 6 days cutting weight. He can't really do any sort of prep for this fight because he doesn't have time to do it. He's got to come down from a huge weight cut. So the whole fight favors Nurmagomedov, and if Nurmagomedov wins, that's the ideal situation because that's how you get the big money fight between Conor and Nurmagomedov. And you don't get that if you have Max Holloway who wins. Because if Max wins, you've got to deal with, is he going to be healthy? Can he do these weight cuts? Will he prefer to do the weight cut to 55 as opposed to 45? And if he does that, you're starting all over at 45, which is not a great scenario for the UFC because both of these weight classes have been held up a little bit with the fact that Conor has not fought in what, 500 days he hasn't fought in mixed martial arts? Close to 500 days he hasn't fought. So your champ at 155 nearly hasn't fought in the UFC for 2 years. And if the same thing happens to Max gets hurt, any of those scenarios pop up on Saturday or afterwards, you've got a much bigger issue. So this is an emergency situation that needed to be addressed, and Max Holloway was certainly one of the guys that they wanted to get involved. Brian Ortega was also asked, but he was asked, according to Brian Ortega's Twitter account, so we'll take him at face value, he was asked after they asked Max, so they had him like, hey, we're not sure if Max is going to take this. If he doesn't, do you want it? And he said, hell yeah, I'd want it. And then it turns out that Max jumped in, and that's how you get what you get. But this fight, while is exciting, the timing sucks, sort of. And I would say that the matchup sucks, certainly, on a 6 days' notice. Yes, Max Holloway is a guy with big cojones for wanting to take this fight from the most, and I said this on Sunday, from the most dangerous man in mixed martial arts. It is a monumental task to do on 6 days' notice. That said, I still think this fight is super interesting. If it was a full camp, it's not that it's not interesting on Saturday night. It's not what I'm saying, but it's more interesting when you've got a full camp behind both men. And that said, I think 9 times out of 10, I would pick Nurmagomedov in this fight. But for this 10th time that I'm talking to you this week about UFC 223, I'm going to go out on a limb and imagine a world where Max Holloway wins. That's how I'm going to operate this weekend, because I just think this week has been so nuts. I'm going to sort of throw logic out the window and say a guy who couldn't make it to the last pay-per-view makes it to this pay-per-view to fight in a different weight class and somehow pulls it all together and wins that fight, which drives us straight through the gates of Crazy Town, where we now have to figure out what to do at 155 and 145. The co-main event is Rose Namajunas taking on Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Jędrzejczyk and her trainers say her weight cut has been awesome. She looks like she's in good spirits. But again, as Ken and I have been talking, the way that Joanna has been beating people is mentally. And Rose is not a person that you beat mentally in that regard. And so this, for me, is a very, very interesting rematch in the fact that I don't know. I just don't know, and I don't think that Joanna has anything different she can show Rose. I really do feel, and I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago when Ken and I were talking about this, I really do feel that Rose is the Weidman to Joanna as Anderson Silva. I just think she's got it dialed in, and she knows how to beat her, and I think that's what you're going to see on Saturday night. And I look forward to the fight. I hope it goes a little bit longer and breathes a little bit more, but I think that's what you're going to see. And a couple other great fights. I mean, there's a ton of great fights going on this weekend. You've got Chiesa and Pettis, Aya Quinta and Felder. You've got Borg and Moreno happening. You have Caceres and Lobov. And if you missed it earlier today, Lobov and Nurmagomedov got into it in a hallway scrap. So there's a lot of bad blood floating around. And I think a lot of that clearly has to do with Conor McGregor and the fact that he is not necessarily part of this conversation and will be stripped on Saturday night. But yeah, there's just some insanity happening all this weekend as we head into UFC 223. You've got Moceano and Qatar. That's the kind of what we call the palate cleanser fight. So the third fight in between the two co-main events and the two starting fights. You've got fights on Fight Pass, four of them actually on Fight Pass. You've got four on FS1, and then you have five on the main card, which kicks off at 10 p.m. Eastern for UFC 223. And then don't forget, WrestleMania is on Sunday, which you may or may not see John Cena and The Undertaker. And if they do that, I really think... I know this is not a wrestling pay-per-view, but I will pause for a second to say that if you see John Cena and WrestleMania taking on The Undertaker, it will be one of the most interesting things I think the WWE has ever done from a marketing perspective, in that they're just hedging their bets that people that are interested in that particular thing happening, giving them the money to check it out, you know, signing up for a month for $9.99 to the WWE Network to see if, just to see if that happens. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things happening. Daniel Bryan coming back. You've got the Ronda Rousey thing happening. So there's plenty of pomp and circumstance in WrestleMania, but this whole idea that they might be putting a huge, huge match for them on WrestleMania with little to no actual promotion, meaning the two guys going at each other, I just think is super fascinating, and one of a million reasons why everybody that you see in your Twitter feed this weekend talking about MMA, and there's a lot of MMA to watch between Friday and Saturday night, will also be checking out the Hall of Fame at some point on Saturday and WrestleMania on Sunday. The other bit of news I want to get to is Dana White said today in the press conference that Brock Lesnar is coming back. He does not necessarily know when. However, he is most certainly coming back. And if this week it teaches you anything, guys, that should come as no surprise. They have to sell these pay-per-views. And they're going to do crazy stuff to sell these pay-per-views, like bring up their champ versus champ when that arises. Now, Khabib and Max Holloway is not the same, just to get this out there, is not the same as DC versus Stipe, because that's been planned out. And in both of those divisions at the time that they booked it, there really wasn't much going on, and it made a lot of sense to do that, and that was not an emergency situation. This, they have to make it happen. And as I said on Sunday, I love the fight. I hate that it's 6 days, but I love the fight, and you've got to do that stuff. Brock coming back, they need guys like Brock in the organization. And if they do Brock versus anybody, and I don't know what I would feel. I'd have to think about this. I don't know what I would feel about Brock versus champ, if that's DC or Stipe, or if it's Francis Ngannou is the one that makes sense to me. I don't know which one of those I like better. The Ngannou one seems to make a little bit more sense, but he did beat Mark Hunt. I know he popped positive. We've talked about this a million times, but he did beat Mark Hunt. So maybe the title fight, because you only get him back once every 2 years, maybe that's the thing that makes sense. But they are doing this because they need to sell pay-per-views, they need to get eyeballs, and they want to make it happen. So Brock is coming back. They just don't know when. All right. Also this weekend, you have Bellator 196, and the MMA gods also shone brightly on this event because it was originally not even close to Benson Henderson and Roger Huerta. Both fighters fell out of Bellator 196, which gets you, they bring Benson Henderson in, and they're like, well, we don't really know what to do with him. What should we do? Well, let's talk to Roger Huerta. And Roger Huerta, before we get to him, he has done this thing that I talked to him in the interview about, but he's done this thing where they tried to sign him to a 5-fight deal. He said, no, I'm going to do 1 fight. And then we're going to renegotiate because I think that I'm going to make such an impact on Friday night that you're going to want to pay me more money. And I want you to pay attention when he starts talking about money and all of the expenses that this guy has and every MMA fighter that you're following around has, and just kind of the dire straits that you could get in when that stuff goes sideways. So without further ado, this is my interview with Roger Huerta.
Good, Eric. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for spending time. I know this is like literally a fighter's nightmares to go through the media car wash, but I appreciate the time as we head into Bellator 190.
No, it's okay. I understand.
Well, yeah, I know, but I always appreciate when you guys take time because I know that this is not your favorite thing. So I just wanted to say I appreciate it. And I also want to say, man, I am so excited for this weekend because the MMA gods this last 3 months have been a little odd in granting and taking away great fights for fans, but this is one, and I'm honestly surprised that you guys hadn't crossed paths earlier, but this fight, man, looks to be awesome on Friday night. You know, well, just because, like, you've got Benson Henderson, who traditionally, like, I've been a fan of yours for a long, long time. He's a guy who struggles when he gets pressured, and you're a guy who I think can pressure him a lot. And so it brings up the best of what this sport has to offer in two fighters that, again, super surprised that you guys haven't met before, but excited to see what's happening. How was camp? How do you feel? How's everything been going?
Eric, I'm excited for the fight itself. I feel that I have, you know, the tools to beat Benson. So I'm going to try to display that, obviously. Camp has been great. I've been fortunate, really lucky. I've been training in Los Angeles, California, training with my buddy Justin Hagen, my buddy Rick Sanati, who I met in Bangkok, and my other buddy Danny. And then we just kind of I spent a few times at the wild card training there a bit as well. So it's gone great. No injuries, healthy, my weight's on point. And just ready for Friday night.
Which is awesome because, you know, rewatching before you called a couple minutes ago, rewatching that Hassan fight, which was super scary to watch. It's great to hear that you're in 100% health and ready to do this thing. Question about that fight, because I think a lot of fans who watch these things, they see stuff like that happen and they don't really have the context. Can you take me back to that and talk about what it takes to recover from something like that, where he's just raining down blows on your spine, you know, for the better part of 30 seconds?
I was confused for a bit because I was out of it.
Right. I imagine.
Anyways, the way that, you know, I started off a bit rusty, but then I started, you know, doing my thing and I started figuring out my range and I just felt the victory coming, and you know, I knew that it was going to happen. But then when the way it ended with the 7 illegal elbows to the back of the head, was kind of real confusing to me. I'm like, man, did this just happen? I wasn't able to display, you know, my full skills, and it was coming. But so after that, you know, they patched me up. I was going to go to the hospital. I didn't. I flew back to Phuket, and I started to, you know, have a bit of migraines, headaches. You know, I just didn't some stuff that I didn't really feel that even after I got that soccer kick knockout.
Right.
But then I did feel this, which kind of had me a little worried, but all is well. You know, I've had my MRIs, you know, my scans and everything's good. Just had to, you know, take a bit of a time off from training and stuff.
And so,
good, healthy, ready to go,
which is awesome. And so, how has 2018 felt for you? Because, like you said, in that fight, it did feel like you're seeing, and your striking has gotten much better, which is hard to believe given, you know, how long you've been in the sport. I always think it's fun.
No. I'm a big critic of myself, and that was one of the major reasons why I moved to Thailand, was to get that better. I knew that I was missing that, but all in all, I mean, I think all aspects of my game have gotten better. I think my wrestling has gotten better, my jiu-jitsu has gotten better, and especially my striking has gotten better. My vision has gotten better. I have gotten better.
And it looked like it in that fight. Even, you know, like you said, it was a slow start, but once you started to see it, it was like, okay, now you can see all of the tools that he's been collecting. And you know, you've said, even on your Instagram, I think it says, like, knowledge seeker, right? Like, I love when fighters are continually trying to push themselves into positions where they're like, I feel like I could get better doing this by going here. And you seem like, you know, a guy who wants to travel the world and figure out this fighting game to its nth degree, which is why I am so excited about this fight this weekend.
Thank you. Definitely. You know, I put in a lot of work. I put in a lot of time, and I'm going to display that. I'm going to show that. And that's, for me, the last fulfillment is that man, I've put 15 years into this, and it's, yeah, I haven't been, you know, in the Western side of and showing it over here, but I'm grateful for that. Bellator's giving me a platform to, you know, display my art.
Which is awesome. Is it weird for you? And because I know you had to say it a couple times, and I'm not actually asking you this question, so don't hang up on me. But you know, is it weird for you that people are asking, like, or saying things like "Welcome back"? Is that odd to hear, because you've still been competing? It just hasn't been, you know.
Well, I think no, you know what, it's a bit strange, but I just think that no one thought that I was going to come back to the States, you know.
Was that always your plan, though? Were you planning
eventually, you know, I wanted to, yeah, but there were certain things that had gone down and were happening in my life that I wasn't able to do that quite yet. And you know what? It wasn't time. It wasn't the time yet. I guess now is the time, and now I'm here, and hopefully all goes well with everything.
Roger Huerta joining us, talking about his fight against Benson Henderson coming up at Bellator 196 this weekend. One more question before I let you go. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about the one fight contract. Can you talk a little bit about the Vegas betting you're doing with this fight, so people can understand the importance of what this means this weekend?
Look, man, this is my life. This is I've had ups and I've had downs, and the downs are pretty bad, and Things can, for example, you know, I take 7 illegal elbows to the back of the head, you know, and guess what I had to do to recover from that? I just super glued. I didn't get any stitches or anything like that. I didn't really go to the hospital right away.
You super glued that?
I took care of it myself. Yes, we did.
Okay.
We super glued it. We didn't get stitches, and I had to let it, you know, heal up that way. So when it comes down to it, and another promotion that I had fought in, I get a lot of medical bills, you know, so I got to cover this. And and it all comes down to money, to be quite honest. You know, at the end of the day, I would like to be healthy, you know, when I'm done with this, and not too banged up. So it comes down to that, man. You know, have something to show for the work that I've done in this game.
I just wanted to say, I think it's super ballin' that you're going into this like this, and I totally understand, because it's one of the biggest struggles as somebody who loves the sport and follows the sport and is blessed enough to talk to you guys, is like hearing stuff like that breaks your heart a little bit, because when I'm paying $70 a pay-per-view, it's nonsensical for you to tell me, like, I have trouble paying my medical bills. Well, that seems crazy. How do we fix that, right?
Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it, really. You know, no one's there next to my, yeah, man, no, it's, anyways, that's just the other side of things, you know. But, you know, this is, I'm looking forward to the fight and hope he comes out okay and hope I come out all right. So,
as do I, my friend. It has been a pleasure talking to you. I will let you get on to your next one. Have a wonderful time this weekend. I cannot wait to see your hand raised at Bellator 196. And again, a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And so there he goes. Like I said, it goes a little sideways towards the end, but I wanted to make sure you heard it. There's a lot I could read into the end of that interview that I just don't really want to, but you can make your own decisions. It sounds to me like that's a guy who would have talked for an hour. If we had an hour, we only get 10 to 15 minutes, depending on who we're talking to. We had 10 with Huerta, and we used up all of it, and that's kind of where we ended. So I'm excited to see what happens on Friday night. I'm not really sure after hearing him towards the end of our conversation that mentally he's necessarily where he needs to be successful on Friday night. But I certainly think it's odd to me, as I said in the interview, odd that he and Benson have not fought before. And I certainly think given where both men are in their careers, Benson being a bit of a bust in Bellator and Roger having a little bit of a resurgence in his 15-year career in MMA and coming back to the States to be in Bellator, could make for an interesting night on Friday night. So as always, you can follow along with both of us on our individual Twitter accounts, at Eric Hulkran, at The Ken Evans, or follow everything in one place by following at Wow Show on Twitter and on Facebook. I am Eric Hulkran, and this is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Have an awesome, awesome weekend. Enjoy all the fights, and we'll talk all about it next week, along with, I'm sure, a lot of things about WrestleMania. All right, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week. Take care.